one. I'm gonna hit the intro.
Okay.
You're listening to Mind Candy, broadcasted out of Sheridan College in Oakville, 90.7 FM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mind Candy Radio, broadcasting live from Sheridan College in Oakville. I'm Kasha.
And I'm Haley.
Let's get started. Today on Mind Candy, we're going to get you up to date on what's going on in Toronto sports. We're going to talk to Sheridan students about their take on National Oreo Day. And we're going to sit down with a sports doctor who's worked with some of Canada's most elite athletes. And we'll get you up to date on Trump's latest travel ban.
Speaking of Trump, he's been talking a lot about fake news lately. He constantly attacks the media about how legitimate their claims are, and has even gone as far as to ban certain media outlets like CNN and the New York Times from attending press conferences at the White House. So we want to know, how easy is it to spot fake news from the U.S. president? Kasha here is going to read me some real and fake Trump tweets, and see if I can spot what's the real deal.
You are fake news. Fake news. Fake news. Fake news. Fake news.
Fake news. Fake news.
Fake news.
You are fake news.
So, it's no secret that U.S. President Donald Trump has an interesting Twitter account. He's gone after celebrities, he's gone after former President Obama, he's gone after various news outlets. So I wanted to prove how outrageous his Twitter is. I've got a collection of tweets. Some of them are real, that Donald Trump has tweeted, and some of them I made up myself. I'll read them out loud, and Haley, you're going to guess if they're real or if I made them up.
Let's do it.
All right, so here we go. So the first tweet is, "Sorry, losers and haters, but my IQ is one of the highest, and you all know it. Please don't feel so stupid or insecure."
Don't feel so stupid or insecure. My IQ is one of the sounds like something he could say, but I think it's a little bit too extreme. I think that might be fake.
It is real.
Ooh.
That is a real tweet from Donald Trump.
When did he say that?
I believe that was before he took office, but yeah, he tweeted that back in his apprentice days. So okay, let's try the next one. "Emma Watson showing off her boobs, very disrespectful. She should have more self-respect. This is feminism. Sad."
Creepy. If he said that, but I think that could be true. It sounds like something he would say. He likes to really punctuate his tweets with sad and weird words, one little word sentences like that. And yeah, I'm gonna say that one's true.
I made that one up, actually. Oh, that one is not true.
Oh my God, Kasha. Okay. I'm
a very good President Trump, I suppose. All right. Okay. So this is number three. "Everyone knows I am right that Robert Pattinson should dump Kristen Stewart. In a couple of years, he will thank me. Be smart, Robert."
That's a strong opinion on Twilight. Aren't they not? Are they even dating anymore?
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to say that's fake.
That one's real.
Oh my God. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any more for me?
I do. 26,000 unreported sexual assaults in the military. Only 238 convictions. What did these geniuses expect when they put men and women together?
I know that's a real tweet. I've heard that before, but I don't... Was it Donald Trump? I think that was him.
That was him.
That's pretty outrageous.
That's the U.S. president.
That's very comforting. what was like the most popular out of those tweets? I'm wondering, like, what was his most do you know what his most liked tweet was out of all of those?
Out of the ones I've said so far, I think it was the I'm not even sure.
I wonder.
A lot of them are from before he was running for office. But so I got one more for you.
Okay.
Tired of leftist Hollywood propaganda saying I'm unfit to be president. They should stick to movies. Pathetic.
That one sounds familiar too. I'm going to say that is true.
Nope. I made that one up.
Kesha.
So,
it's like we share the same mind.
Ouch. Wow. I feel really offended by that, but okay. So I think you got one right. Do you want one last shot? I've got one bonus.
Yes, please.
Okay. Any negative polls are fake news, just like the CNN, ABC, NBC polls in the election. Sorry, people want border security and extreme vetting.
Justine, is that one true? Help me out.
I think yes, just because of the fake news thing.
I also think it's real.
That one is real.
Yeah.
That is real. All right, so that's 2 for 6. So as you can see, it can be really tough to tell what is fake news, what is made up, and what is unfortunately very true. So yeah, what do you think of that, Haley?
I mean, his Twitter's horrible. That's I think that's pretty obvious. I wish that I think he just gets crazier and crazier every second. But what can you do?
All right. So,
Speaking of scary monsters, Beauty and the Beast is not even out in theaters yet, and its content and its leading lady are already getting some pretty negative attention. Emma Watson, who plays Belle in the movie, posed for Vanity Fair recently in a Burberry top on Instagram, and the photo was posted on Instagram, and it's getting a lot of backlash because people think it revealed too much of her breasts. People have called this photo unfeminist, but Watson does not agree with that. An American evangelist pastor named Franklin Graham, who has quite a following in the States, has been in the news quite a bit over the years for criticizing other religions, like Islam, and he's speaking out on Facebook about how the Disney movie The Beauty and the Beast is trying to normalize gayness by having a gay character in the movie. And I'm going to quote a bit from the post that Graham posted on his Facebook page. And quote, Disney has aired a cartoon with same-sex couples kissing. It has also been announced that their new movie, Beauty and the Beast, will feature a gay character in an attempt to normalize this lifestyle. They're trying to push the LGBT agenda into the hearts and minds of your children. Watch out. I hope, he goes on to say, I hope Christians everywhere will say no to Disney. And he also said that him and his brother Billy met Walt Disney when they were younger, and that Walt Disney would be shocked at what has happened to his company. What do you think about that?
I don't understand why. I mean, just going back to to Emma Watson's picture, I don't understand why Disney stars, I guess Emma Watson technically is a Disney star now that she's in a Disney film, you know, why she's held to such a high standard. I mean, I think a lot of female stars are held to high standards, but I don't know, I feel like once you're on Disney, it becomes a lot more heightened. The expectation is that things are a lot more family friendly. Do I think it's fair? I don't think it's fair. Emma Watson is not Belle. She's a person. She's not, it's not her, she doesn't have to be that role model. I think she can, I don't know, that's just my opinion. I think it's unfair that there's that heightened expectation of family friendly. I think that made the backlash over the picture a lot worse than it should be.
Justine, what do you think about her outfit? In Vanity Fair. I mean, sorry. Yes, on Vanity Fair's Instagram.
Well, one, excuse me, one point that an article brought up in an interview with her is that she completely disagrees with what the critics are saying, because to her, feminism is being able to make a choice, being able to choose what you want to show, what you want to do with your body. I think that I agree with her that I think that is the real message of feminism, that you should be able to express yourself however you want. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous that people are calling her hypocritical because she's such an iconic feminist in Hollywood. And I don't think this disproves that at all.
All right. I think there's definitely, that kind of makes me think of Miley Cyrus as an example. She was kind of, I think she was Hannah Montana, was a little innocent little show, and for the most part. And then, for example, maybe I can think of Wrecking Ball, where she's like a little dressed, a little more revealing, and everybody kind of freaked out. So a little bit of unfairness there, considering a lot of, I guess, what we can think of a lot of other Disney stars that kind of like, got involved in different activities, but they're not really getting judged for it. So it's interesting that you show a little bit of skin, and a lot of people get really mad. But moving on to the fact that there's one of Disney's first gay characters in the movie, what do you think about this evangelist, Pastor Franklin Graham, saying that, why do you think he's saying children shouldn't have to, like, shouldn't look at these characters? What do you think, where do you think that's coming from?
Well, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that Christians still believe that being gay is a sin and being gay is wrong. They're allowed to think that. I don't agree with it. They're allowed to think it, but it's very unfair for them to criticize other people's support. It's unfair of them to say that anything that shows a gay character is trying to push a gay agenda. You can't force somebody to be gay. So I think his claims are absolutely ridiculous. I was laughing through the whole thing.
And on the flip side, what do you think, what could you say to Franklin Graham about maybe, what do you think the benefits of people, of this representation of the gay community, of the LGBT community at large, in these movies, like at seeing these characters at a young age?
I think it's good. I think only good can come from
characters being represented, from LGBT characters being sort of shown in the mainstream media. I wish people like Pastor Graham, and you know, it's a lot of people are very prejudiced and are very hateful towards that group of people, and I think it's really important for kids, and you know, I think it's sort of important that it shows acceptance and it shows that it's okay, that it's, you know, everything, that's not a bad thing to be a member of the LGBT community. And for what it's worth, for what I heard, that the scene in Beauty and the Beast that is gay, it's very subtle. So I mean, I don't know. I think the pastor's overreacting.
Interesting. Well, we're going to move on to a bit of news with Amelia Scher up next. So make sure you stay tuned for that.
You're listening to Mind Candy, broadcasted out of Sheridan College in Oakville, 90.7 FM.
So, Amelia Scher has your top stories surrounding the executive order Donald Trump signed this morning, the federal cabinet meeting taking place later this week, a robbery in Oakville, and Costco membership prices.
Thank you, Kasia. So, Donald Trump signed an executive order this morning that will temporarily halt entry into the U.S. from 6 Muslim-majority nations. The new order replaces an earlier version that was blocked by federal judges and will exclude Iraq from the blacklisted countries. The order clarifies that people from these countries who have already received U.S. green cards will not be affected, so that is good news for some. In the previous order, tens of thousands of legal permanent residents were left in limbo. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says the quote, responsibility provides a needed pause so we can carefully review how we scrutinize people coming here from these countries of concern, unquote. The previous order caused mass chaos at airports and many protests. A senior official from the Homeland Security Department says, quote, there's going to be a very orderly process, and went on to say, you should not see any chaos, so to speak, or alleged chaos at airports. There aren't going to be folks stopped tonight from coming into the country because of this executive order, end quote. The old order has been criticized by right-wing politics and the American Civil Liberties Union. In a statement, the ACLU says the only way to actually fix the Muslim ban is not to have a Muslim ban. Instead, President Trump has recommitted himself to religious discrimination, and he can expect continued disapproval from both the courts and the people. Moving on, Global News reported today that federal cabinet ministers in Canada are geared up for an in-depth discussion this week regarding the practical and political pressures being placed on the Liberal government surrounding the rising number of asylum seekers coming into Canada. Immigration officials, RCMP, and Border Security have been working through possible scenarios to prepare for the possibility of trickling illegal immigration coming from winter and rolling into the spring. The Immigration and Refugee Board reported that in its last quarterly financial document that in the first 9 months of 2016 to 2017, there was a 40% increase in new claims compared to the same period of the previous year. Ministers will also consider whether there is room to alter this the Safe Third Country Agreement between Canada and the U.S. The agreement says that a refugee claimant must apply for asylum in whichever two countries they enter first, unless they qualify for exception. So the next story hits pretty close to home, as Halton police are on the lookout for a man who robbed an Oakville gas station early this morning. The man was on foot. Police say he is 30 years old, 5'4", with a thin build and light brown skin. And they say that he was wearing a black Canada Goose jacket with fur-lined hood and a gray patterned scarf. He was said to be wearing dark blue skinny jeans. Police say he robbed the gas station by using a 4-to-6-inch kitchen knife. The robbery took place at Petro-Canada on Upper Middle and 8th Line. Currently, no injuries are reported. Anyone with information to connection to the robbery should contact the Oakville Police or leave an anonymous tip with Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS. And I just got a Costco membership for Christmas, so this deeply saddens me. So CBC News reports that come June, Costco is going to hike up annual membership prices by an extra $5 to $10. Costco had almost 87 million members at the end of its last fiscal year, including about 10 million in Canada. Now in June, regular star members will the cost for regular star membership will go up an extra $5, and an executive membership will be bumped up to $10, which will now make the cost $120 per year. But with this price hike, also means discounts and benefits will be bumped up as well. So, speaking of things you can buy at Costco, it's National Oreo Cookie Day. Kenesha Martin talked to Sheridan students about the famous snack.
It's dessert break time. Grab a glass of milk because March 6th is National Oreo Cookie Day. The cookie was introduced in 1912 by Nabisco, and over the years, the cookie is still loved by millions to this day. Let's hit the streets to see what Sheridan students think about Oreo Day.
I don't have any particular feelings for Oreos.
I love Oreos. They're probably my second favorite cookie after Grandma's homemade chocolate chip. And they're a good vegan alternative to the traditional cookie that you can find everywhere.
They're very good. Can be twisted and licked or just eaten whole.
I think Oreos are delicious and big fan, long time fan since I was a little kid.
I love them. They're delicious. I like the ones that have the extra double filling inside of it. I always eat the filling first and then the cookie last.
Oreos, they're so fun. They are the only cookies I eat, and I can't even think of any other cookies when it comes to Oreo. I was hoping someone have a Oreo milkshake kind of thing on campus, but no one actually has something. No one even knows it's National Oreo Day.
How about you, my Oreos? Is it just kind of old school way of just splitting the two cookies apart and licking the center out?
Oh, you gotta get you gotta dip them in milk and then eat them.
I guess some people take them apart. I don't do that.
I freeze them, and then I eat them whole. Makes them taste better. It's a long, it's an old trick from grandma.
I used to twist and lick, but more recently I've gotten lazy and just eat them, just full.
You know, I really don't discriminate. I just eat anyways. An Oreo is an Oreo. It's not going to bother you how the hell I eat it. So you know, that's how it is for me.
There are more than 25 varieties of the sandwich cookie. Make sure to grab your glass of milk and dunk away. And don't forget to hashtag National Oreo Cookie Day. This is Kenesha signing off.
Coming up, the Jays and the Raptors have had better weeks, but hopefully the Blue Jays will have better luck in bringing Brett Lowry back to Toronto. Ku Khaled has your top stories.
Toronto Raptors recently lost to the 10th seed Milwaukee Bucks, 101-94. The Raptors are currently on a week break and will head to Miami this Saturday to face the 9th seed Miami Heat as we move closer to the NBA playoffs, which will begin on April 15th. A question that always comes to mind, season by season, is whether the Toronto Maple Leafs will make the playoffs or not. The NHL's most popular team, for whatever reason, always has fans buzzing every season, hoping for a chance to see their team compete. The Leafs have 18 more games to go, with 10 of them being home games. Out of those 18 games, 11 of them are against teams contending in the playoff race. Will the Leafs make the playoffs? Let's just say it's entirely up to them. In MLB news, the Toronto Blue Jays are reportedly interested in second baseman Brett Lowry, who was recently released by the Chicago White Sox. The 27-year-old Canadian baseball star played for the Jays in the past, and a possible reunion between Lowry and the Jays could happen. Hopefully we see Lowry in some Blue Sox very soon. The NHL's Las Vegas Golden Knights made their first ever player transaction today. The team signed Reid Duke of the Brandon Wheat Kings in the WHL. He's expected to attend the Knights' first ever development camp next September. With so many talented Toronto athletes, it's important to take time out to thank the doctors that keep them ready for action. Amelia Scherer sat down with Toronto-based sports doctor Amandev Aluk to talk about her experience working with Skate Canada, Canada's national women's hockey team, and with Canada's Paralympic Pan Am Games athletes.
What made you want to have a career in sports medicine? I think sports have been a pretty big part of my life, so I think probably from about the time I was 11 or 12, you could find me on some kind of field or court. And then when I went into medical school, probably around third year, I knew I wanted to go into family medicine, but the idea of sports medicine was something I'd always been interested in. When I was a resident, I got to try a few electives in sports medicine, and then that allowed me to make the decision to pursue a fellowship afterwards. So. And then I think sort of the rest is history. So I think it's sort of a strong personal interest, though.
You volunteered for the 2015 FIFA Women's World Cup. Can you tell me a bit about that experience?
As a volunteer for the medical team, we had two main responsibilities. So we were either working as stretcher bearers. So if something was to happen on the field and someone needed to be helped off, we would help with things like that. As well, we were also involved in helping out with the doping process. So each game, a couple of people get selected from each team randomly to participate in doping. So you sort of find your player on the field and you keep an eye on them and then make sure that you escort them afterwards to go for doping testing.
One of the coolest things I think that you've done in your career was volunteer at the 2015 Para Pan Am Games. So what was it like covering powerlifting and goalball and wheelchair rugby?
So the Para Pan Ams are a bit of a different experience from Pan Am. So I think the atmosphere is different from, I think, some of the other events, because for many people, some of the hardest things that they've had to do is are not necessarily things on the field, but things that they've had to encounter. So, for example, people who had polio as a child who then had to sort of overcome that to then be able to compete at something like a Parapanams. And I think we take for granted that in Canada we have things like accessible wheelchair or accessible buses and parking spots, and there's that awareness that these things need to be in place for people. But many people commented that that the experience in Canada was quite unique from what they had grown up with, and so I think you're seeing people sort of just have fun after triumphing over so much.
So was there one athlete that you found particularly inspiring and empowering?
Yeah, so there was one player, or one athlete rather, in particular. So he was from Dominican and had polio as a child, but was a power lifter. And so it was phenomenal to see him lift so much weight. Like, it made me feel very bad about how much I lift at the gym in comparison. But he was the nicest guy, like always had a smile on his face, would come by the medical room every day and say hello. And I think it's hard not to love your job when those are the athletes that you're working with.
And what do you have to look forward to, and what are you planning on doing in 2017?
So it's coming up in a couple of weeks is the World Junior Synchronized Skating Championships, which is happening in Mississauga. So I'll be volunteering with that. And later on in the summer, I'll be headed to Manitoba for the Canada Summer Games as part of the medical team there.
Wow. You are so busy.
We now head over to Justine Polanik, who will be covering your entertainment news for the show.
She'll have highlights from the iHeart Music Radio Awards and information about the new Nintendo Switch. What's going on, Justine?
Thanks, guys. So the world of entertainment is actually pretty exciting right now. Starting with the iHeart Radio Awards that were last night, the internet has been flooding with photos and videos and articles about the 4th iHeart Radio Music Awards. Katy Perry opened the show with her new song, Change to the Rhythm. Other performances include Ed Sheeran, Bruno Mars, Shawn Mendes, and the Chainsmokers. Big winners included Justin Timberlake's summer hit, Can't Stop the Feeling, for Song of the Year, Adele for Female Artist of the Year, Justin Bieber for Male Artist of the Year, and the Chainsmokers for Best New Artist. Now onto the Nintendo Switch, something I'm actually pretty excited about, and it's exciting news for all gamers. The anticipated Nintendo Switch released this past Friday. The brand new console, which was first announced in October 2016, is a hybrid of a portable tablet-like system and a home entertainment device. The system can connect to your TV so you can play at home. The Joy-Con controllers can be attached and used as one, or detached and used as two separate controllers. The device has sold two times the number of consoles than the Wii U sold for its launch date in the UK, selling 80,000 devices. So far, the Nintendo Switch has a 3.5-star rating on Amazon. Didn't get enough chill time over reading week? Sheridan's Trafalgar campus is hosting their Holla Back Girls event tomorrow from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Marquee. This night is all about getting pampered and relaxing. Watch the Hollywood classic Grease as you dip candy and fruit into a chocolate fountain and get your nails done. The retired David Letterman is in the news today after giving his take on the way Jimmy Fallon handled the President Donald Trump on The Tonight Show. Letterman claimed that, quote, "I think I would be in the position to give him a bit of scolding and he would have to sit there and take it," and says that he would have, quote, "gone to work on Trump." Logan is making record numbers with an estimated $88.3 million opening weekend. This places the movie 4th in the best R-rated domestic opening. The film is also director James Mangold's best opening ever and ranks 3rd as Hugh Jackman's best. Logan is an X-Men spin-off that follows Wolverine, played by Jackman. Taking place in 2029, mutants are almost eliminated. Logan is stuck hiding out on the Mexican border when he comes across an unknown woman with an urgent request. It currently has a 93% critic review and a 94% audience review on Rotten Tomatoes. That's all I have for your entertainment news today. I'm Justine Polanik, and back to Kasha and Haley.
Thanks, Justine. So we've got just about about a minute left here, so we're just going to really say a quick happy birthday. It's a special day today. It is Canada's favorite city is turning 183 today. Happy birthday, Toronto. Yay.
Yay.
So I'm just going to ask everybody quickly. I'm going to answer the question right after I ask it. I'm going to answer it for myself. But what does Toronto mean to you? I mean, I've got to say my favorite show in the world, Degrassi, and through that, Drake. I mean, that's what I think of when I think of Toronto anyways. Those are two of my favorite things, and they happen to be born in Toronto. So what about you, Kesha?
I got to say the restaurants. There's a lot of really, really cool places to eat in Toronto. I mean, it's a big city, so of course. And, you know, one of my favorites is called Metropolis. It's a Greek restaurant, and it's really amazing. You should all go.
Sounds delicious. I think that's all the time we have today. Thanks so much for tuning in to our very first Mind Candy Radio. It has been our pleasure to chat with you today, and have a good one.
You're listening to Mind Candy, broadcasted out of Sheridan College in Oakville, 90.7 FM.